Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Coping in Copenhagen. My name is Owen. I'm with Abby.
Hey.
And I'm with Marius.
I'm Disagadava.
This is a podcast about life in Copenhagen. It's about life in Denmark. It's about in Scandinavia life. It's about... you looked at me weird, you threw me off. Yeah. It's about life in Scandinavia as well. It's about life in general. It's about all our experiences molded up into a big bubble of... You totally threw me off. I don't... Stop looking at me like that.
You're doing so good.
I know.
Molded up into a big bubble.
This is my favorite one we've ever done so far.
Really?
Go ahead, keep going. I liked it when you said Scandinavia in life.
And we talk about stuff. And the way we do that is we talk about news, we talk about experiences, because we all live here in Copenhagen. But we're not all from Copenhagen.
No.
In fact, far from it.
Where Abby, are you from, Abby?
Good save.
Do you want to save that one?
Abby, you're from...
America, the United States of...
And where are you from?
Ireland. Republic of. And Marius,
where are you from, Marius?
I am from the great nation known as Denmark.
There you go. Look, we cover all bases here. We do that, and then we put it in a big, put a nice little bow on top and make it a podcast and send it out through the Acast network. Mm-hmm. And the way you can pick it up is through the Copenhagen Post.
Yeah.
If you've clicked on the Copenhagen Post, thank you very much for getting us through that. That's wonderful to hear you. Mm-hmm. If you did that. I'm guessing my mind is somebody listening now goes, yeah, that's what I did. I'm like, great, great to hear you did it. If you did it through Spotify, thanks very much for giving us a 5-star review, because I'm assuming you've taken the time to stick a 5-star review up on top of that.
We're going to do an update on how many stars we have next week, and if we get to 100, Owen and Marius said they would bring me a cake. So they didn't say it, but they will.
Will we? I'll get a cake with your face on it.
If
by the time we're recording in the studio again for the next episode, we're at 100. I don't know what it is right now. I haven't checked in a while.
Please, 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 please make this happen for me.
I think we need at least 20 more. I think it was like 77 something like that.
Last time I checked, it was 77. Could be up now because it was about a week since I've looked. But if it's 100, by the time we're in the studio again, I will have a cake with Abby's face on it.
Please, guys.
Just
all
Abby's
I want.
Face.
All
what about
I want
my
is,
face.
She, you shouldn't ask for
it. I asked for it, Marius.
All right, fine. Let's. And also, if we get,
Marius is getting a separate cake. I don't want to share my.
Yes,
cake.
Okay. There's going to be a separate cake. There's going to be an iTunes cake for Marius. So if we get 5 more written reviews between now and next week,
I want a cake. If there's a triple Roger, then I want my special cake.
Marius, you're getting it for the 5 reviews. That's what you're getting.
5 reviews.
You're getting 5 written reviews on iTunes. You're getting a cake with your face on it. I get a cake if we get a third Roger.
Okay.
You both have to get me a face cake.
All right.
Face all right. Cake. So if we get 100 Spotify reviews or like 5 stars, 70. So we're on 70 something. If we're 100 by the next recording, Abby gets a face cake. If we get 5 written reviews on iTunes, Marius gets a face cake. And if we get a third Roger, I get a face cake. If that all happens at once, we get 3 cakes.
That'd be a lot of cake.
It's a lot of cake.
I'm sorry.
There's people we can hand it out to. We can sit in the street outside and be like, all right, we're finished recording. Everybody come
eat to
the
ICC face.
Studio. I'm taking my face home with me.
So anyway, thanks for joining us on all of those outlets. And I know you're all very excited to get some cake now. And this week.
Yeah.
What's I think happening? That's everything, right? I've covered everything I need to talk about at the beginning.
I mean, the cakes were
cake was good enough, right?
Genius.
Well, it was actually it was a combo. There was like cake and face. You had the cakes, I had the face. I mean,
what else
do you need?
Everybody's always saying about Owen, you got the face.
You got the face for the radio.
or cake.
Yeah, or cake.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Radio cake face.
Yeah.
So guys, I have a little story thing I want to bring up, and I think it's going to open the floodgates for communication conversation about Denmark.
Okay.
So, couple of years ago, back in 2021, those wonderful days of leisure, there was an artist, Jens Hanning, H-A-A-N-I-N-G, Hanning?
Sure.
Yep. Jens Hanning was commissioned, as you are, by a museum, a modern art museum in Aalborg.
Ooh.
Shout out to our Aalborg listeners way up there north. Love you. We've heard from a few of you. Love to hear you again if you're hearing this. So he's commissioned to make a painting, right?
Lovely.
He's going to get paid 40,000 kroner for this piece of work, right? Anyway, it's a good commission, you know, depending on how long he's working on it, but still a good commission. He's also given 530,000 kroner to make it.
Okay? To make his art.
To make the art.
Wait, what was the first number? 40,000 kroner fee. To what?
You're giving 40,000 to make it. His fee was 40,000 kroner.
What's the difference between that and a commission?
Well, no, that was his commission. He was commissioned 40,000 to do it, right?
But then what's 500? Okay.
That was to make the art. So they're like, here's 500,000, make a piece of art for us.
Okay.
Okay, so they paid for the art.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was getting his fee. You with me?
No, what's the difference between a commission and the fee? I don't understand at all.
The 40,000 was 100% for his back pocket. The 500,000, 532,000 was for supplies, like art,
production,
whatever it costs to make the piece of art.
Okay.
So it didn't cost him anything to make the art.
Okay.
The museum paid for it.
That is
very confused.
Yeah, I mean, because
I feel like this is pretty clear.
Yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't seem right. If your artwork that you are producing costs 530,000 kroner.
Yeah.
Your fee should be higher than 40,000.
Well, wait till you hear what happened.
All right. I'm just saying that guy needs an agent. Should I be his agent?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, let's see how it goes. See if you want to be his agent.
I don't want to be anybody's agent.
So he then was like, sure, cool beans. I'm going to go make some art. Went off. Why is something wobbling? I keep hearing wobbling. Is that the bottle over there? Is that your bottle?
I think it might have been my leg.
That's your leg. Okay. So he went off, gave a bunch of canvases covered up. And like, here you go. And ran, right? And then they opened the canvas and the canvas just said, take the money and run. And he left with all of the money. 500,000 kroner plus 40,000. We're talking like 180,000 kroner in all, right? 180,000.
Wait, you're not...
580,000.
Yeah, okay. 70, yeah.
80, right? I was like, I really don't get this.
You're not getting the money. Yeah. He took the money. Yeah. He just painted one thing on it. He said, take the money and run. And then he took all the money. And they were like, what the fuck? He stole money from us. He stole the money. He came out and said, no, no. This is the art. The art was me taking the money.
I mean, yeah. That was the art. I think I'm going to disagree with the judge.
You're spoiling the story now because I haven't mentioned judges yet.
Well, I can see where this is going and I think it's going to court. Does it go to court?
It went to court.
Yeah.
And a judge in Copenhagen said, you got to give back the money. That is not fair. It didn't cost you that much money to paint that and it doesn't work within the realm of art. Like, he's not recognizing the art part of it. But he did say, keep the 40,000. That's yours. But the rest of it, you have to give back.
But art is subjective. So how can this, in a court of law, what is the judge basing his this is not art on?
I can imagine it's not really anything to do with his decision of art. I reckon it's the museum saying, we specifically gave this for, buying products and buy, like...
So it's like for expenses.
Expenses, and you didn't have any expenses.
So it wasn't a commission, that was expenses. It was like he got that much money... So he obviously didn't spend 530,000 kroner on paint, like black paint to paint.
No,
to take the money and run.
No, so that's where it comes into. I'm guessing. He says he says that the taking of the money was the art. It was not theft. It's a breach of contract. The breach of contract is part of the work. Is what Hanning is saying. Then he adds something.
So he's saying a breach of contract
is part of the art. Yeah,
Okay.
Which is probably not what his lawyer wants him to say.
No, I'd imagine.
Like, you're literally saying you breach contract.
Yeah.
And he also said this. I'm sorry, but this is what it was like. I encourage other people to who have working conditions as miserable as mine do the same. If they're sitting in some shitty job and not getting paid and are actually being asked to pay money to go to work, then grab what you can and beat it.
Mm.
I don't think you're getting your job's that shit. That's my own little point.
Yeah.
Like you're getting paid 40 grand to paint. I mean, you're an artist. I hope you enjoy it. You know? Yeah. That's all it is. But anyway, so...
I'm looking at it, guys. He didn't write on the thing. Take the money. It's just a blank canvas. And it's
The title of it was Take the Money.
Title is,
The title of it is. Yeah,
take
sorry.
The Money
yeah.
and Run.
Yes.
So he didn't even paint on it.
No, it was just blank canvas.
Oh, okay.
So he bought canvas at most.
Yeah.
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 So this is an interesting little thing, and it's caught the attention of some people. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I got more info. I got more info.
Yeah.
Okay. The Museum of Modern Art
Aldrich.
Loaned conceptual artist Jens Hatning around like $76,000 to remake two of his earlier works, in which the cash was glued to canvas. In a commentary on the difference between the average Danish and Austrian annual income.
Oh, okay.
All right. So first I was like, well, they paid him to remake something. So this is just theft because he didn't remake it. But because the art was about
money,
and they gave him the money to glue onto the picture, I don't know. It does get a little hairier.
Oh, yeah. Hans' average income. Yeah, yeah. There's a bit about that in there.
Because it actually cost that money to make the painting, because the painting is money glued onto a canvas.
Mm.
So instead of doing that, gluing the money on the canvas, he made a new art piece called Take the Money and Run, where he just like steals the money.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I don't hate it.
it's fine. Like but I'm neither here nor there. I can see
as a piece of art, I kind of like it, but he doesn't have a say. Like he's fucked in a court.
Yeah, I mean, like when it goes to court, he's got it. Like I mean, you're like, all right, fine. It is what it is. But I thought this was an interesting springboard for a conversation about art in Denmark.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
All right,
cool. Let's do it.
First of all, a great starting point is that the Danish government would be like, you know what we should spend $80,000 on is giving an artist $80,000 to glue down on.
But I don't think that's probably privately.
It was the museum's money. However,
but I bet the museum is subsidized. Or
sure, subsidized. Sure, yeah. sure. But there's sure. definitely yeah. like the. I can imagine these museums having like Patreons and stuff like that.
Probably, yeah.
You know, people.
Patreons.
Patreon. No, but it's Patreon. Like it's somebody who's like,
patron.
You know,
patron.
Yeah, patron. Yeah. What did I say?
Patreons.
Like,
you can imagine these
which is just a plural of a patron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
so yeah, fair yeah, yeah. yeah it's the plural of a patron website.
But okay.
That I mean, first of all, I think I had heard something about this story when it happened in 2021.
Oh yeah, like, it was kind of out there, yeah.
But I didn't really care or whatever, and it felt like that banana thing. Remember when the banana got somebody taped a banana to a
wall? Yeah. This was some gaffer tape, and then somebody took it and ate it.
Somebody did, I think, take the banana off, but like the artwork was a banana taped to a. What's the thing people paint on called?
Canvas.
Mm-hmm. And people were like, is it art? Yes, fucking yeah, is the answer.
You're talking about it.
Yeah, you're talking about it. You're doing something about it.
I've had this thought before, what deserves to be considered art, right? And my thing is, if the person creating the banana on the wall is actually like a proper artist who's like studied art, understands art, can actually create like different types of art and like just is using, because like I go back to Picasso was like, if you look at Picasso's early work, he's like insanely talented. He does like, you know, Renaissance, massive, beautiful paintings, like landscapes and stuff like this. Yeah. And then he got to this.
He really fell off.
Yeah, he really got stupid. Yeah. But then he goes to the he has mastered. Now he gets his own. So I'd like to think when I look at modern in general, it doesn't, you know, whatever. It's not fucking for me. It's like I'm just witnessing it. So it doesn't. I don't actually count to anything. But in my head, I'm like, if the artist is truly an artist in many levels, then I'm okay with your simplicities.
Oh, and I think this is your monarchist is showing.
Yeah, this is a what? Very elitist
yeah,
opinion.
I feel like it really so is.
Elitist.
Somebody get the art right in here.
You have to have sort of you have to be education yeah. basically.
You don't
just because I said it doesn't mean I meant that.
No, you don't have to be educated in the sense of you don't have to go through, you know, 10 years of like art school and everything, but you have to be able to fucking prove like your concepts before that.
I think it's like art is it's the same way as like comedy. It's the same way as like a lot of things. It's like it's art if we feel like it is. Like, yeah, because well, even if you feel like it is and you make something and if everybody thinks it's stupid and nobody looks at it twice, then okay, you made art that's bad art. It's like somebody just people don't care about the banana on the wall, but somehow somebody made this banana taped to the wall. We cared about it. We were interested in it. And that was the context, which was somebody paid a lot for this banana on the wall. Mm. It was that there was an audience for the banana on the wall. It was the person doing the banana on the wall in some way surprised us. That's what makes it art to me.
But is it
like it's like okay, it doesn't
but,
have to
so,
be.
Okay, so but then Mickey off the road comes in and like gets a bit of sellotape and wraps it around some cat hair, right? And puts it on a table and can tell you a big story about why he did it, but he's never done art before. Ever. Is that art?
If a bunch of people come and watch it and have opinions on it,
if it is interesting in some way. But like, this is... What about...
Why is it not art?
Because there's no actual concept behind it. It's just somebody doing a thing.
What do you mean? What if he has a concept?
I think art needs to be... the creator needs to have an understanding behind it.
But who's the arbiter of what is
a, but this is my
a
point.
Concept?
But then... Okay, but then art is absolutely anything to anybody at any given time. So there's no rules to it.
Yeah.
But that's bollocks. Like, I think there are some rules.
But there are rules. But the rules are like, the rules are, it's a feeling. It's truly like comedy. Like all of these comedians who are like, you can't say anything anymore. You absolutely can.
Mm. Sure.
It's just you have to convince an audience that what you're saying is worth hearing.
This is all well and good, but there's money behind this stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking half a million kroner went behind a fella putting a piece of paper on a wall.
So you mean this guy?
Yeah, the story I just talked about. So like we can say it's all about feeling and it's in the observer. But also there's monetary value behind a lot of this shit. And with that comes responsibility.
But yeah,
the monetary value of a Picasso, it's still just a feeling.
And this guy, this thing.
It's just because we've decided that's high art, it's worth a lot.
And this as art is more interesting than someone replicating, gluing a bunch of money on the thing, because there's this whole backstory of the Danish government is giving you money to glue money onto a canvas to show the disparate thing between. Yeah, keep your hand up. I'm still talking.
I'm just saying I'm going to say something afterwards. Yeah.
But it is just like what makes things interesting, I think, is changing. Like, right now, I am more moved by anything that is not on the internet. If I see something on Instagram, even if it's something I would have loved mm-hmm. like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. now I'm not interested in it because I know they made it for the eyes of the internet.
Yes.
If I see something in real life, I am so much more likely to be moved by it, to feel like it's real art because it's a real thing somebody made. Truly, truly, truly. I was at a gig on Saturday in Hanning and I like couldn't, I stayed in the bathroom like 5 extra minutes because there was so much graffiti on the walls.
Oh, that's a cool place. I've been there. Yeah.
That the Hanning train station. Yeah. It's got like graffiti on the walls that is like it feels like 90s graffiti and mm-hmm. people really go for it and like there's like lists of like I don't know and I was just like this actually feels more like art to me at this point.
Let me take that and work with that. So you said it's things that make you feel. We've all agreed that things that make you feel was said many times with regards to art, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say that the canvas, which take the money, and the banana on the wall don't make us feel anything. It's an interesting story. And we're mixing the ideas of interesting stories and art. And just because it's interesting does not make it art. We don't actually have a fucking feeling towards it.
I feel different about it. I don't know that.
Whereas if the artist came up and said, this is why I did it, this is the deepest meaning to it, and explained my deep understanding of it, then we'd have feeling attached. And then you're like, okay, that's art.
I feel like that about the money thing, maybe less about the banana.
I really thought that was clear. Okay, all right, fair enough.
But it's like, because I feel more moved by the idea that he would make the choice to take the money and not do the thing that he was paid to do. I feel more moved by that story than I am by the story that then he takes the money and glues it to the canvas like he did before.
But I moved, really.
Well, I'm interested. Yeah, and it, I don't
but
think
that's
it's...
interesting to move. These are things I think we should be more critical on that.
So, but so to your what you're saying is that if they don't have a concept behind it, then it's not art.
I believe so. I, in my opinion,
but I would say this man has a concept.
But the concept is.
I'm
sure this guy's an artist. I'm sure this guy is an artist. But this, but my whole point, I'm not saying anything isn't. There's nothing I'm pointing to say that's not art. I'm saying there's a responsibility behind it.
What do we? Sure, there's a responsibility. Sure, you could say that. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But this this feels like a Scooby-Doo mystery thing. Like, oh, and he drops off the canvases and then he gets away and then he takes the bags full of money. Like, there's like, with dollar signs on them, it feels like that. And to me, part of the story must be that the museum seeks repercussions, that like they go to court. Like, I don't think the art ends at the thing. Like, I don't think that actually the museum necessarily should have been like, well, yeah, that's art. That's what we got asked for.
No, I think
the piece of art is I take the money, the museum, even if they think it's interesting, even if they do display it, which they did, they still have to go after this guy because he didn't do the contractual thing. They must, even if they like the art, and he must, like, I don't know, I just think the whole thing is actually an art piece. But the art piece isn't the white thing on the wall. The art piece is you have to, like, can you commission someone to recreate art? Can they do something different? This is like, I don't know, I think it's cool.
I think it's cool too. I'm just saying, I think we need to be able to be critical on it and be able to call bullshit and some stuff. And also some stuff might not be art.
But also, yeah, but I think that's why it's like, it matters if it's interesting. Because the banana thing felt like we were all like, what the fuck? But also like, it was kind of the first what the fuck. But
I don't remember much about it, to be honest.
It was just like, I don't really either. Rolf, the journalist, please.
Yeah. Or fact checker, please.
But right, like, he sold a banana that was taped, it was duct taped to a thing, and it sold for a lot of money. And people were like, this is art. It's always what it is. This is art nowadays. But the thing is, I think when that stops being interesting enough to sell, interesting or whatever, then it's not art anymore. And like, I lose interest on that kind of thing that's just like a thought exercise, like, pretty quickly. And so do a lot of people. But there is like room, like the exploration of it is worth something. Like that it is getting explored and burned and like thrown out the window when it's done is like a path that art can take. I don't know. I just think like, we can tell it won't have value when it's not art anymore. And it's fucking like, it's stupid. I'm not going to go to a museum. I don't even like museums. Like, I don't like them. I think it's a lot of standing in front of canvases where I'm like, I don't care.
Have you been to Louisiana?
Been to Louisiana. It's nice. But like, I just, museums make me feel empty.
Arkin,
yeah.
Arkin. They're great museums. SMK. I'm not a museum person. I think art is...
That's Arkin, is it?
No,
Arkin is south of Copenhagen.
Yeah,
and then there's a big one with the colorful rainbow walk. Yeah. Anyway, I really didn't expect this to trigger like such a deep conversation on what is art. But let's.
But it's subjective, so that's why there's no right answer here. Like,
sure.
Like, I can see some of your point with you should have made art before. You should have a concept behind it. Have thought about it. Just sticking a banana on a wall with some gaffer tape and saying that's art seems a bit vague, or a little bit like you're just taking advantage of the fact that art is subjective.
Yeah.
But to me, even if you're doing that, that's a concept on its own.
Sure.
And a commentary on art.
You could take
anything could be a concept. And if it makes you feel something and some people think it's art, then it's fucking art.
Hey,
and there might be a bunch of people who think this is not fucking art. And they're also right.
Also right. Art.
Art, right.
Hey, but guys, look, here we go. Ready for a segue? Hans Christian Andersen wrote a story about this.
What?
Famed author Hans Christian Andersen wrote one called The Emperor's New Clothes.
Oh,
have you heard of it? Have you heard of it?
They Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, Abby. Ding, very ding. Good. So basically, this is the Emperor's New Canvas. That's what we're talking about. It's like, what is art? Is art art if there's no art to be found? And I do think, like, that is a really... a thing I think a lot about in comedy too. Sometimes I will watch comedy where I feel like the audience is laughing because they don't want to be left out.
Yeah.
Because they are like, I also can see why this is funny. Yes.
On paper, yes, this is a joke.
And like, okay. No, but like there's something, and to do that, the performer has to have like a level of confidence.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It is incredible. Like, because in general, an audience will just turn against you if what you're doing isn't like really pushing their buttons. But there is a certain kind of confidence that some comedians can exude that like I feel in the room like the audience is getting like bullied into laughing. Like,
yeah.
Like that they're like, oh, yeah, I get it too. I get it. There's I also definitely
like,
get it.
I feel like with audiences, there's also a tipping point in number where if the energy is good after a certain number in the audience, the energy is going to, like, generally they want to.
That's what we stay want too, by something. The way. And that's what you should go into.
Yeah,
100%. When I'm saying this, please don't hear this as like you should go into a comedy show with your arms crossed and like not laugh at anything. No,
make
no, no.
Make me.
Please.
Who wants to be a hard laugh? Who wants to be forced into laughing? Like, just enjoy. Laugh.
Please do the opposite of that. But there is like this kind of thing. And I think it is also with often like kind of like unkind or very weird things. And I love weird comedy. I love alternative comedy. I love like clowny stuff. I love it. But there is sometimes... I have had the feeling in a room where everyone's like gonna go out and say that this was the greatest thing that they ever saw because there was like something they didn't quite get.
Oh.
And like, I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think?
I used to use that tactic when there was something very, that I thought this is quite profound, I think, but I didn't get why this is profound. So I'll just say this was brilliant.
Okay.
Sound like
okay.
I got this.
Oh,
guess
not now, but like
yeah. No, I get no.
Earlier
no.
in my youth,
yes,
I think 100%. When I was a bit
little more easier just to say. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a couple of things I have to bring to this conversation is the banana that was duct taped to the wall sold for $120,000. And we were like, the guy who made that, I noticed when we were talking about it, we were all assuming that it's a guy, because of course it was a guy.
Yeah. It was a guy.
Yeah, it was an Italian artist, Maurizio.
Oh, no, the banana Catalan thing. Did we say, were we saying guy for banana guy?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Sorry, okay.
No, yeah, right. but that was just a correct assumption.
Okay.
Guess what it's called, that piece of art?
Banana on a wall.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is not a banana on a wall?
No. Is it just called banana?
Called The Comedian.
Oh!
Ah, so good.
Fuck.
Now it's art. Now it's art. Now okay. It's fucking art.
But I do think that was an Italian artist. This is a Danish artist, the one with a blank thing on the wall that we've been saying.
Let's talk about art in Denmark. What's your impression about the art scene in Denmark?
Well, I've been talking about this on stage some lately, which is full disclosure in case you've heard me say this on stage. I really think it, though. I think there is, like, it's really interesting to make art in a society where most people have all their basic needs met. I think it's, like, it's a different kind of thing. And so, like, in America, I feel like art is, like a life raft for a lot of people. Like, it's like you're lost in the woods and it's, like, your house with the lights on and you see it in the distance and you can just, like, make something your own and announce to the world what you are and what you're worth, like, using, like, a utensil. And it's an incredible thing. And there's such urgency behind a lot of art in America. And it's just, like, beautiful and moving. And then in Denmark, I feel like it's, like, art is, like, there is some grass between these two buildings. Should we make it bumpy? And like, what if we made this park bench really tall.
Like, people love the big tire park
bench. People love it. But it's just kind of like, it feels like people sitting around like spitballing, being like, what do you think? What about this for art? Like, this could be fun. This kind of feels wacky.
Yeah.
Where it's like, because there, I think, isn't this like need to like announce, which is, it's just a different thing.
Yeah, there's a classic one in Ireland with, so we're known for our poets, artists and musicians and stuff. And there is a spike in creativity when the economy is down. So hard times is the fuel you need for creativity, can be seen. So there is a question of like how this comes around. When you talk about art in Denmark, to me, first thing I think about is film. I think Danish film is really, really like amazing. I think it's some of the best stuff I've ever seen. Not Lars von Trier, who's the guy who works with, who did Dunk? What's his name?
Is it Billy August?
No. It's Thomas Vinterberg.
Yes. Ah. So I've seen a bunch of his films and a bunch of other Danish films. Because seemingly himself and Lars and a bunch of the guys start off early and they created this style of filmmaking, like this kind of handheld
style. They were part of the... No, well, he actually wasn't. Lars von Trier and... Thomas Vinterberg, was he part of that?
I think he was, because he did a movie.
They started the Dome movement.
Yeah, the Dome. So he I think they like, was it, what's the wedding one where they all come to a house for a wedding?
Festen.
That's
the party.
Festen is fucking brilliant. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But the thing is, Festen.
That's a good insight into kind of Danish like culture.
But this is it. This is the point. Hunt is also amazing. Yeah. The Hunt. These are amazing films, but they're specifically built for Danish culture. Which is like a flip side of two things. One, it's an amazing way of getting into Danish culture, but also it's very alienating if you're not familiar with like certain jokes or statements and things like this. Even if it's translated, you're still like, so it's this really, I find that fascinating that like Danes make art for Danes. When I'm saying art, I'm talking about film at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. But it goes back to this like old... I suppose it goes back to this old idea of like when Denmark lost the kingdom or like the land, that you kind of like, didn't the king like double down on fortifying Denmark and like looking internally? And
probably, yeah.
Well, when
I think it started this very like this, like Denmark is described as a monoculture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably that comes from some kind of inferiority feeling once we lost the Norway, Sweden, and parts of Germany, right? Like suddenly we're a tiny country and not very significant. And yeah, then maybe that has an influence. It's probably an interesting sort of study of how what art came out of that period and how that really influenced the art scene and how has that influenced since sort of the art scene and the culture in Denmark.
But okay, so all right, we've had our little pops. Marius, tell us what is your view? What is your view on art?
It's funny, I've not had deep thoughts about this. And I enjoy like music is something I feel like I'm not, there are some cool Danish acts I've heard of, but typically they would be singing in English. There's very few like Danish acts that I'm like, that I'm into. It's not because it's bad music. There's
Minds of 99.
Yep.
Everybody's seen Minds of 99. They do like 400 gigs a year. It's insane.
So I don't look at like Danish music as like high art. I think architecture is something we do well.
Design, yeah.
I think is very strong on that.
Yeah.
Film, I would agree with you on that. But yeah, I don't know how, like, what to, how to sum up or what to say about Danish art, really, sort of. It's not something I've...
It's interesting.
It doesn't seem that bold to me.
No.
Maybe. Like, not that it's safe, but it's rarely, like, really sort of in your face and sticking out. And maybe it doesn't have this, like, kind of urgency or it's speaking to a point in time or history, something like that.
But there's also something where I was thinking about like how Danes are so into like you're good at group work. And I think maybe that's also I was just in Edinburgh where there was a lot of Danish theater. The Danish government, the Kunstfund, gave like a ton of money to bring a bunch of Danish theater over to the Edinburgh Fringe this year. And I saw one thing that was like really like every time somebody heard I lived in Denmark, they're like, "Oh my God, have you seen Dark Noon? Have you seen Dark Noon?" Which is this like huge theater production where they like, I did go then at the end, I went there last day, and it's actually with a cast from all Sub-Saharan Africa, and But the director is Danish, and I think a lot of like the people who worked on it were Danish, and it was like the Kunstfund like funded the thing, and it was like an insane piece of theater where like they built a Western town on the stage during
wow.
like while you watched the show. It had audience interaction. It was in a huge, but it was incredible. And I was just like thinking, like when we were talking about like design and like when there's Danish music, it is, I feel like when it goes, it's a band mm-hmm. and there's like group, when there's something that's a group thing, I feel like Danes are really known. Film mm-hmm. is like a group endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really interesting to think about whether that is like a cultural Absolutely, yeah. tie-in.
And it keeps with the idea of like this, you know, collective, like the mono, mm-hmm. the
yeah.
working together, you know, it's like one mm-hmm. working as one on something.
And I think it's rare you say, like I say, Lars von Trier, he's like, if you use the word, an auteur.
Sure.
Like, I think it's very rare you can say like that about a Danish artist.
Mm.
Like, they have their own right and yeah. sort of their own little world maybe, but like, are they a well-known auteur? I think that's quite rare.
What does an auteur mean? What
like,
does that mean?
You're a master of your craft.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would say, you know, Lars von Trier is a master of his sort of approach to making films.
But even side note, Lars von Trier doesn't make art with other people. Like, he makes it for him in mind.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I believe.
He doesn't make it for Danes.
Make it for Danes, doesn't make it for the greater population. He makes it because he wants to make it. That's the view I would take from Lars von Trier.
But also, like, in terms of thinking about, like, function and, like, Danes are famous for Danish design and, like, form and function.
Yeah.
Him, as an individual artist, like, and visionary, created a set of rules for people to follow. Like, it's just, I don't, like... Like, the Dogma 95 is 10 rules that anybody can follow. And the first film that somebody made it by was, like, I just read something like this. It's in Rick Rubin. Rick Rubin talks about it in his...
Is that the British guy with the quiff?
No, Rick Rubin is an American...
He's a musician with long hair.
Music.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
He's not a musician. He's a music producer.
Producer, yes.
He doesn't play any instruments.
Really?
I am learning about him. But anyway, he talks about it.
Who's the film critic on the BBC Five? I thought that was Rick something as well, right? I just don't want to sound stupid. I didn't know who Rick Rubin was. Yes, I know Rick Rubin. Okay. Beastie Boys, yada, yada.
Yeah, very good.
But Rick Rubin was talking about it in there. But it's just like, I don't know. We don't... Everything doesn't have to fit into this idea of Danish culture. But it is funny when you look at it. And we're just like, today we're talking about art. And you're like, oh my God. The most famous Danish artist that we can think of is like Lars von Trier right now. And he... made art by making more rules for you to follow.
Now, we must say this was a kind of a spontaneous conversation. So sorry to, I'm sure there's people shouting at their phones or podcasts or whatever they're listening, being like, there's this artist and this artist, and there's amazing artists.
Please write in with
those
artists.
Tell us, we will happily promote and look at other people. But this was spontaneous. This was going into a line that I didn't think we was going to go into. But another thing with regards to giving, like we're focusing on Denmark, talking about music, you're saying like you listen to Danish artists who sing in English. Look at Sweden. Sweden has won Eurovision so many times. Sweden is known, like ABBA, one of the biggest pop bands ever is Swedish. The got loads of music producers who like also like Taylor Swift's producer I think is Swedish.
Britney Spears. A lot of the pop bands.
And I've looked that up. I've looked into that a bit, and they do that because they are good at what they do, but they also love collaborating, which Denmark doesn't do. Denmark keeps to inside the thing. And then there's also this like, if we're going down to music, I mean
that was very harsh saying Denmark doesn't collaborate.
Yeah. Well, okay, but look at the difference between two nations right next to each other. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But Denmark, right? Whenever I talk to people who are like international students, like here, and like there is such a focus on group work in Danish schools and Danish, like that it's like so central to all education through university, which was certainly not when I like my experience in America. And it's so that's really interesting to hear that like. But yeah, I mean.
But maybe they just collaborate a lot with, you know, within Denmark. And
sure,
and,
yeah, within, no,
but maybe there's just less people contacting Danish artists
collaborate? I'm sure, like when I say collaborate, I mean like world, like collaborations of like taking different, it just seems that Denmark is focused, like I'm sure there's collaborations happening inside Denmark, 100%. I just mean like, That's meant to be connected to the Swedish success, that the collaboration, taking pieces from other pieces of music, art, and Denmark seems to be like focusing in what Danes want to do. Danes want to do.
Well, that is interesting too, because I don't know if they have the same thing in Sweden, but I know that like for things like DR, like the Danish, broadcasting network, they won't fund projects that are in English.
Yeah, that's also true.
I wonder if it's the same in Sweden, but like there is, there is a really clear motivation in this country to keep Danish central, and at some point I'm sure that does get in the way of international success and collaboration and fame.
Because that's such a defeatist attitude, actually. That really pisses me off.
What?
I used to get angry when I listened to the radio, when they would have like the Spil Dansk. We only played Danish songs. I would just not listen to the fucking radio that day. And I feel like it's like, it's a little bit like, we're not good enough, so we have to like make time for when we could only play Danish. Like, no, fucking let them compete with everybody else. Mm. And if your art is good enough, your song is catchy enough, or whatever it is, it will get played on the radio. Like, it's, in Denmark, at least, if it's a Danish song, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I feel like, yeah, I feel like it's a super defeatist attitude to do that.
I think what we're saying
and it's also excluding a bunch of art, also.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Oh, Marius!
Art right?
Art wrong.
Oh.
I have to say, I think what we're trying to get across here is that if the DR is listening, we are willing to.
We will be your first.
Yeah.
We will be your flagship English radio show. Absolutely. Something we were talking about briefly when we knew we were talking about art is street art.
Yeah.
In Copenhagen. And there is street art in Copenhagen.
There is street art in Copenhagen.
And there's people, graffiti artists who tag a lot around the city. And ones I know are, is it Spio? This is Spyro.
I think it's Spio, because I just looked Spyro, and I think that's an anime character.
Okay, right. So Spio,
like a lot of different...
you will see Spio a lot of places. Like a really random. I remember like taking a drive up the Hill Road or something, and I seeing Spio on the back of something. I'm like, geez, that person gets out there.
And
then there's another one. What's the other like really colorful one you'll see around Norbro and stuff like that?
What's it called? Din Ven or something? I have it here. Do I have it here? I have it here. No, I don't have it there. Fuck.
And which one's that? Z-U-Z-A? Zuza?
Zuza, yeah.
Is that one?
I think
something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dinmore?
Anyway, the point is that it's like it's there. There's like there is a community there, and we kind of, you know. But again, it's like I don't know. Is it?
But that helps break up the monochrome of the city. Also,
absolutely. Like, it's great to see it.
And there's a lot of these nice wall side wall
murals.
Like
at
the murals, and then there's somebody who does like. There's one that if you're coming into the city on the S train, you see like listen to Greta Thunberg, and there's one there's a person who does like messages, and I don't think they sign it, but they just do big fuck off messages on the side of walls. So there's a bunch of Norbro and stuff like that. But it's like all these
that's the Spio person, I think.
Is it the same person?
I think Spio did the Another Man's Trash.
One Man's Trash.
Is that okay? So that must be Spio as well. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, okay.
And there's a lot of those, and I always really like them.
Yeah.
Whenever I see one of those, I'm like, that's a good one. Look at another good one.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I feel like they got good taste. Spio, if you're listening, we'll add you to the list.
Yeah. There's a really, really cool mural on a something called Sankelmarksgade, which is a mouthful, but that's on Vesterbro. It's from 1991 and designed by a Tanzanian artist, Hashim Bushiri. I did not know that. And it was created sort of during the Images of African Festival here. And it depicts various African animals in a very sort of distinct artistic style known as Tingatinga.
Cool.
Wow. But that's a very, very cool one. I recently discovered this myself, and I was like, what the fuck? This is amazing. But there are a bunch of cool murals on walls around town you can check out. And there's a bunch of articles on it also if you look up sort of Danish Copenhagen street art.
Mm.
Yes. And I actually didn't know that it's a lot of, there's also one in Ønslager scale, which is a sort of a big bird that's from a Chinese-born artist. So it's also nice that, to know that it's sometimes like not just Danes, but it's a nice way of sort of adding some color to the monochrome city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great murals, cool. Great murals. Denmark is great mural.
You're right at me.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, just got a little itchy eye for a second. Doing good.
Little pinker.
So I think we can safely say we didn't come to any conclusions with this.
There's art. And whether you think it's art, it's up to you.
Yeah.
All right. Let us know what you think, please. Write to us at copinginCopenhagen@gmail.com. Tell us your opinions on Danish art, on world art, on...
So it's your favorite
whether
Danish
you like
artist.
Us or not, but only if you like us.
And also, by all means, if there's artists that we think you have to talk about this person,
yeah,
just throw it our way. We'll talk about it. It'll come up at some stage.
Yeah. Also, one more thing is, from time to time, we are looking for subjects like this where we can talk for episodes that we are either like pre-recording or doing another time, or we just want to talk about something other than the news that week. So if you have an idea for something we should talk about, the episode we did on conflict in Denmark was an episode somebody asked us to do. The episode we did on if you're moving, like a Copenhagen starter pack was a episode somebody asked us to do. If you have an idea for something we should talk about living in Denmark or Denmark's place in the freaking world, let us know. copinginCopenhagen@gmail.com. Please rate us on Spotify, rate us on Apple Podcasts, tell us you like us in every way you can think of.
And if you want to be on the list, we have a really long list now. All you have to do is get your name mentioned when we mention the list is just say it's not just Debbie and Roger, stick your name on it and you're going to be on that big long
especially
list.
Especially if you're Roger, so we need another Roger cake face.
To clarify one more time, if we get 100 reviews on Spotify, we get Abby's face on a cake. If we get 5 written reviews on iTunes, we get Marius' face on a cake. If we get another Roger, we get Owen's face on a cake. In the meantime, Marius, you have any hot tips?
I do, Owen. I do. Oh boy, do I, Owen.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh,
I'm a
Owen.
Real boy. I just saw half of the new Pinocchio film. It's okay.
There's a new Pinocchio film?
It's like an animated Pinocchio film. Oh. Did you know why is he called Pinocchio? Do you know what Pinocchio is about?
Yeah.
Is this what's the hot tip?
It's about a puppet that becomes alive and his nose grows.
It's about not doing drugs.
Get the what?
It's about living a pure life.
Is that what Pinocchio stands real, for?
Do you know what Okio means?
No.
Oh, opioids? Panopioids? Is that what it is?
No.
Fentanyl? What is this?
It is something with the pin is supposed to be the pine, the pineal gland.
Yeah.
And which is supposed to bring you sort of enlightenment. And
dude, are you serious?
Yeah, check it out. Look that up. Don't take my word for it.
All right. Next time I'll tell you a complete bullshit story.
Wow!
Anyway, I promised last week on the pod to give some birding tips.
Mm.
So if you want to go birding...
Because it's a real thing, yeah?
Yes, if you want to get birding in Copenhagen,
so
you can. Because there is a website called birdingpal.org. And here you can find local bird watchers and you can join them.
Okay.
And you say, but won't it be in Danish? No, it won't.
Ah!
They speak Danish, English, and some Serbo-Croatian and French.
Cool.
So there's a list where you can just go figure out where you are. It's all over Denmark, from Bones and Fyn to Nakskov, Lolland Falster to Svenskøbing. Yeah, and Aarhus. All over city, all over Denmark. Mm. And yeah, guides. Maybe you want to go with Lars Munk. Yeah. And he's free anytime. He speaks Danish, Swedish, German, English, Norwegian, and some French.
Wow.
So check out birdingpals.org.
Does he speak bird?
He also speaks bird.
gobble, gobble, gobble.
staying a bit on the birdie thing. If you... because you can't fly, but you could make something that could fly.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a great...
terrible
transition there.
Awful stuff.
There's a workshop with kites. A kite workshop.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, right?
I like a kite.
It's the 18th of October. And you have to sign up for this. But there you can go learn how to make a kite. And learn how they fly, why they fly. And that's in the after Årsferie. So, remember, you have to sign up on the 18th of October.
Cool.
Check that out. You have to be 5 years and up.
Aww.
Yes.
Which many of our listeners are not.
And then finally on October 13th, we mentioned this 2 weeks ago, also, but it's the Great Culture Night.
Ooh.
Where, venues and museums and
great
the parliament and everything
a little
is open.
Nationalistic. The Great Culture Night. The Night of Great Culture.
check that out on Kulturnetten. Buy your wristband, and then you have access to all the wonderful
activities. What's it got to do with birds?
It's got nothing to do with birds.
Oh, I thought we were going for a bird trilogy there.
You can go to the Ornithologist Museum.
There we go. We got it. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for listening. It's been an episode.
It's definitely been an episode.
I'm getting out of here, and I'm going to take you guys with me. But for next week, stay...
Ping.
Pong.
Yes.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.